Hello everybody and welcome to Retro Asylum episode 71. Right, we've got an interview with Andy Pearson from funstock.co.uk for you today. I'd like to thank Andy for taking the time out the other evening and telling us all about his products, and I hope that you all find it quite interesting. But before we get on with that, let's go through some of the news that we have. And as you'll probably have heard over the past few podcasts, we're going to be present at a lot of events this year, and we'll be performing some live podcasts there as well, so that's going to be very interesting. I'd like to say thanks to Funstock, because they're actually sponsoring us as well, and if you want to go across to their website, they've actually set us up a promo code that you can use, and you can get 10% off anything on the website. All you need to do is enter the promo code ASYLUM at the checkout. And as I say, anything on the site will give you 10% off. So some of the events that we're going to be at this year. First of all, we've got Geek 2014. And that's going to be running from the 21st to the 23rd. However, Retro Asylum will be there on the 22nd. And we'll be doing our first live podcast from there. Now, Geek 2014 is taking place in Margate, and if you want to get some more details about that, you can go to www.geek2014.co.uk. Now, the next event will also be at Play Expo in Blackpool, and that will be on the 3rd and 4th of May. Again, there'll be another live show being performed at that event as well. And the tickets are £10 per day or £18 for the weekend. If you want to find out more details about that, that's at www.playexpo.net. I should definitely be at that one, because that's not too far away from me. It's just a nice train journey. So that's a good one for me to go to. Next, we've got Andy's organising Retromania 2. And that's going to be at Croydon on the 26th of May. Now, there'll be over 30 systems there. We'll be performing live podcasts. There'll be challenges, competitions and prizes to win. I know the last one went very well, so that should be a great event to attend. So if any of you are down, you know, around the Croydon area or can make it, then that's definitely one that you should get yourself down to. We've also got NERG, and that's on the 5th and 6th of July. Again, there'll be a live podcast that will be done on the Saturday. Now, that's taking place in Gateshead, and tickets are available. The full weekend pass is £25. If you just want to go for the day, that'll be it's £15, and you can book online. If you just search on Google and just search for NERG Gateshead, it should show up, so you can go and order your tickets for that. And we've also got Revival 2014. Now, I went to Revival last year and that was absolutely amazing. Chris Wilkins put on an absolute storm of a retro event down there. The actual place itself is a great venue for this kind of thing, and I wish I could get down to that, but sadly it's quite a distance from me. That's down at Wolverhampton, and that will be on the 9th and 10th of August, and we'll also be doing a live podcast from that event as well. If you want to find out more about it, tickets are available from www.revivalretroevents.com. Now, before we get into the main part of the podcast, also I'd like to say thank you to the sponsors. Dino Dini in particular helped us out with our hosting and paid the hosting in full for us. So we're really, really grateful for that, Dino. We've also got Stelios, who has sponsored us for this month, and Peter Flynn. If you want to sponsor us, you can do so on the website. Just go to the front page of retroasylum.com, and there's a PayPal button down there, and you can donate towards the podcast. Any any donations are very much welcomed. And don't forget also that if you're enjoying the show, get yourself onto iTunes and put us a review on there. We're trying to build up a nice bank of reviews, so we really appreciate it if you could do one for us. Now let's just talk a little bit about what I've been up to recently. And a few podcasts back, you may remember that I did a podcast on the Acorn Electron, and that's the machine that I've been spending quite a bit of time on recently, because I've picked up an add-on for it called the Go SDC. Now, anyone who collects for the Electron, they may be aware how difficult it is to get a hold of a disc system for it, and loading things off tape is pretty time consuming. So the Go SDC is an SD card solution onto which you can just drop disk images and load them straight into the Electron off SD card, and that is incredibly fast indeed. So it's absolutely brilliant, not have to worry about spending a lot of money on a plus 3 system, try to find one on eBay at a decent price, because to be honest they don't turn up very often nowadays at all, and they do fetch a very high price. Now the Go SDC is produced by someone called John Cortink, and if you just type Go SDC into Google, you'll be able to find his website, and the details about the device are all there. It costs about €60 plus €15 for the additional Electron interface, because the device actually works for the BBC and for the Electron. However, many people may also be aware of the data centre produced by Retro Clinic, which is available for the BBC, but sadly not for the Electron. So if you've got an Electron and you're wanting to load lots of games into it very easily by SD card, then this is the solution to get. And I highly suggest that you have a look at John's website. Now, it is actually very easy to use once you get used to the initial setup of it. And I'm actually going to be doing a little tutorial and review of it for the site very soon. I'm sort of 3/4 of the way through writing that. So if you keep an eye on the website, if you're interested in getting one of these devices, then hopefully it will help you out in initially setting the device up. And it's also very useful if you could get yourself a copy of the aconelectron.co.uk. They do a DVD, which is a DVD full of the contents of their website and all the tape and disc images that you could probably ever need for the Electron. So if you're going to get hold of a Go SDC, then get hold of a copy of their DVD as well. It's aconelectron.co.uk, and you can buy a copy of their DVD off that website, and you'll have absolutely everything you could ever want to load into the machine. Absolutely fantastic device, and I've been able to play all the favourite games, Chucky Egg and Repton, Galaforce, Crazy Rider, all the Micro Power software, all the Superior software titles. It's been absolutely brilliant. So I think it's the best money I've spent, bar the Compact Flash for the Amiga as well. You don't need an expanded Acorn Electron, it just plugs straight into the back of a standard Electron, so there's no barriers for anyone. You can pick up a Acorn Electron fairly cheap on eBay, so check that out. Just type Go SDC into Google and have a look at that device if that interests you. Okay, let's take a look at a bit of site news. First of all, we've got the Spectrum Bluetooth keyboard that has been funded on Kickstarter. Now, this was a project that was put together by Elite Systems, who published games such as Commando and Paperboy, who obviously we all remember. And they were basically putting this together so that they could bring out a reproduction of the rubber-keyed 48K Spectrum, which would be able to play games that they publish via Bluetooth, so you could get a bit of more of an authentic experience in playing these republished or emulated games. Well, that's been funded, but as you'll see in the news story on the RetroAsylum.com website, there's been a bit of controversy over this, because the developers of the games have come back and said, well, we signed an agreement back in 2010, but we've never received any royalties for these games that have been sold on iOS and Android. And to be honest, they're not very happy about it, and who can blame them? So that's put a bit of a dampener onto the proceedings, but let's hope that they get this sorted out, because I'd really like to see this to be a success, because if this is a success, then maybe other people will come forward and think, well, we've had a reissued Spectrum, maybe why not a C64, why not an Amiga, why not an Atari ST? You know, I'd love to see reproductions of all these come to fruition. And so I think it needs to be a success, and I hope that Steve Wilcox will get the money that's due and sort it out with the developers to just get them the royalties they deserve. I mean, keep an eye out on the Retro Asylum website, and obviously if we've got any further news on that, I'm sure it will appear on there. We've also got news that Amy Bay is confirmed to be at Play Blackpool. That's the replay events, playback Blackpool event in May. It'll be nice to see them there, because obviously everyone knows I'm a big fan of the Amiga, so anyone representing the Amiga is good to see. And we've also got news that Metal Slug 3 is now available to pre-order on Steam. Now, this is available for a limited time for the bargain price of £4.49. The Metal Slug series is absolutely fantastic, and you'll hear myself and Andy in the interview mentioning it. Now, this version on Steam is said to be an arcade perfect version of the Neo Geo release, so that should be absolutely amazing. So for £4.49, I think that's definitely worth a purchase. So if you signed up on Steam, get yourself over there and check it out. I think that's everything for the site news, so without further ado, let's get on with the interview. Now, the sound quality in parts, I've got to apologise. I did record this on a very old PC as a Skype group conversation, and I think the old PC that I've had, it must be struggling a little bit in its old age. So some parts of it, I do apologise, are not quite up to scratch, but hopefully you'll find it very, very interesting. And again, I'd like to say thank you to Andy for taking the time to speak to us. Enjoy the interview. For agreeing to come onto the podcast.
Nice.
I know there was a few messages exchanged on Twitter, and you said that you'd love to be on the podcast, so that's absolutely brilliant.
Right. Nice, pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your history then, and you know, what machines and consoles you had back in the day when you were younger.
So my own personal experience.
Yeah.
I remember on the Commodore 64, but I don't remember playing it. I was very young at the time. I remember it being on my desk, and I remember waiting around for games to load, and I had some crazy ninja game. But that was when I was really young, so I barely remember that, but I know I had it. The first thing I vividly remember was the Sega Mega Drive. That was my first unboxing experience, and launching into Golden Axe, that's my first true gaming memory.
Brilliant game.
So yeah, Mega Drive's my, you know, that was my first gaming era.
Yeah, I used to play in the arcades a lot then. Like,
oh, it's quality, isn't it?
The first sort of console that I had was the Super Nintendo. I used to play that a lot at my friends. But
did you have the Super Scope, the big bazooka?
No, I didn't have that. I have owned it since when I've put the Super Nintendo up on eBay. But
yeah.
You know, since since I've obviously played the Mega Drive games, and I've really, really been impressed with them. Some people don't like the FM synthesis, you know, the sound of the Mega Drive, but right. I do like the sound of that.
I'm personally not too much into my sound. I'm more about pure gameplay. So some of my favourite games, probably one of my favourite games ever, is a crazy game called Earth Defence Force. I don't know if you've heard of that. It's like an absolute blast to shoot 'em up when you play on your own or in a group or multiplayer, shooting giant ants and crazy bugs. It's like Starship Troopers, but done by crazy Japanese guys. It's amazing. So yeah, that's for me. It's pure gameplay. I just want to have fun. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how it sounds.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing about the games back then. It was, you know, the graphics didn't need to be amazing. It was all about the gameplay. And we're kind of losing that a bit in modern games.
I think the tipping point on it was around N64, because in my own I've still not original retro consoles, and that's the one where it's middle ground, where you started to get games that were trying to do more with graphics and less on pure gameplay. That for me was like the tipping point, when you got that extra bit of processing power that it could use, and said, right, let's see what we can do with this.
Yeah,
make some developers boss the way then.
Yeah, that's right. And I didn't really like the early primitive 3D games.
No,
like
I'm
said,
not.
They lost the playability of the 2D, you know, platforms and shooters and things. So, and
yeah, I think SNES and Mega Drive are my favourites in that era.
Yeah, absolutely. What other games can you remember that you played back then?
I loved arcades. I loved Warriors of Fate. That's another side-scrolling beat 'em up, very much like Golden Axe. So Warriors of Fate was a big one. I think it had a different name in Japan. I can't remember what it was called. I maybe had a different name here, but Warriors of Fate was definitely one. I think through the console timeline I had, I remember having a SNES, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, N64, Dreamcast, PS1, PS2, PS3, Xbox 360, GameCube, Wii, and I've just recently picked up a Wii U, which the Wii U's great fun if you're in a group. I wouldn't recommend one personally, you know, for one player games. I've not had a lot of great. I liked Zombie U, but
yeah,
only for a short period of time.
Zombie U as well, but I didn't play it for too long. To be honest, the kids tend to use
novelty.
The Wii U more. Yeah,
yeah, novelty war pretty quick. But I think for parties, I equate it more or less to like a modern board game, the Wii and the Wii U. It's like you just get four people around, or a group of you, whack some of the party games on, and regardless of your skill or ability, everyone's got an equal chance of winning, especially with the right games. That's the main thing, isn't it? Where's you stick FIFA on, or some of the modern, you know, current gen game that you've played hours and hours and hours and you're a master of it. You play against someone that's not played it before, and they're not even going to enjoy playing it because you're just going to batter them.
Hi, this is Aaron White. When I'm not swimming in ocean games, I'm listening to Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast.
We'll move on. Let's tell us a little bit about the history of the company. Tell us a little bit about Funstock itself.
So we're an online retailer of retro gaming consoles related merchandise, but we started initially as like an Amazon and eBay trader, picking up games cheap and selling them through those channels. Quickly expanded once I joined mid-2012, and then we actually launched the website, funstock.co.uk, around then. We got the exclusive rights for the Neo Geo X in the UK, and since then we focused on retro gaming consoles products, as that's a passion of mine, retro gaming.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, we've got great relationships with European and international distributors, manufacturers. We've got access to their range as well. So yeah, we'll continue to expand even more in 2014. And we're currently working on something very unique in this industry. We can't announce it just yet, but we're going to try and do something quite big.
Ooh, that sounds
to try and help.
Promising.
Yeah, very interesting. Something that's going to benefit, you know, all the companies within the industry, not just ourselves. It's going to be something that it's more what we're trying to do is bring something that no matter what you are, you know, like, what if you're into any form of retro gaming or any gadgets or anything, we want to create like a central kind of focal point for everyone to get involved with. So yeah, it's big plans for 2014.
Oh, that does sound exciting. I look forward to hearing all about that. Yeah, how many staff members have you got there?
It's all teams involved at Funstock. It's probably around 12 people. Not everyone's involved day to day. We have the infrastructure to process anything and everything that might come up. The main people that customers will deal with, so the guys that you'll see popping up online or in your emails, is myself and the general manager. There's Sadie, who's responsible for keeping the site up to date and all the social media. We've got Lisa, who's the most important job, which is processing and packing orders. And we also have an intern at the moment, a young guy called Sam, and he helps out with a variety of tasks. So yeah, we've got a decent core team, and then we've got a wider team as part of the group that we can call on for all the, you know, the other business aspects and things like that.
Brilliant. And there's so much on the website, I don't even know where to begin.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It looks absolutely fantastic. It's like a dream. So we'll move on to the products then.
Okay. The first one that always comes to mind is the Neo Geo X, with that being kind of like the flagship product since we started, and it also was very, very popular over Christmas. We've continued with the special offer that we ran over Christmas, which you get the Neo Geo X Gold Limited Edition and a Neo Geo X Megapack for £150, which is crazy money, crazy money.
Yeah, well, I did ask for a few questions to be sent through to me, and the retro hunter did say, can you just ask if I can have a Neo Geo, please?
What, FOC, free of charge? Worth it, though, isn't it?
It's always worth asking.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us about what actually it comprises of, what do you actually get in the box?
Well, the Neo Geo X, at its heart, is a handheld gaming system. There's 15 games built in. Oh, sorry, there's 15 games on the Megapack. It's 20 games built in on the handheld itself. It comes with a docking station, which then links into your TV. So the docking station looks like the original AES. It's been modelled in that way. It's slightly scaled down, but it's more or less an exact replica. And your handheld sits inside there. And along with that, you've got an authentic Neo Geo style arcade stick.
Yeah,
you also get the Ninja Masters as well as a bonus.
All right, excellent. So yeah, I'm just looking at it on the website, and it does look exactly like the original. The original came out, was it about 1990 or something like that? I think it came out.
It was around that mark, I think. Yeah, or maybe a bit earlier. It was very early.
Yeah, and it was...
it cost about £2,000, didn't it, when it first came out?
Oh, yeah, ridiculously high price, wasn't it? Yeah. And I think the games themselves were hundreds of pounds each.
I've spoken to people at events that told me they paid like £500 for Ninja Masters before. So, you know, they saved up for weeks and weeks, months and months, just to buy one of the games that comes on the Neo Geo X.
Yeah.
I think that's where the value is. You know, you're getting all these absolutely classic games built in, and then we also have the Mega Pack as well as like an add-on.
Yeah, I think back in the day it was pretty much the Rolls Royce of home consoles, wasn't it?
And absolutely,
not many people could really afford to have them. And obviously, it was spawned off of the arcade system, the multi-video system in the arcades, wasn't it? So basically, if you owned one of these, you literally had pretty much an arcade in your home.
That's the way it is.
So run us down the games that come with it.
Well, the games that's built in, you've got Three Count Bout, League Bowling, Art of Fighting, Magician Lord, Alpha Mission 2, Metal Slug, Baseball Stars 2, Mutation Nation, Cyberlip, NAM 1975, Fatal Fury, Puzzled, Fatal Fury Special, Fatal Fury Special, King of Fighters 95, Samurai Showdown 2, King of the Monsters, which is a personal favourite of mine, Super Sidekicks, another personal favourite, Last Resort, and World Heroes Perfect.
So yeah, 20 games, you say? Yeah,
20 games built in. Yeah, those are, by the console, you get those games.
Excellent value. Which were your favourites off there?
King of Monsters. Jumped out for me, King of Monsters and Super Sidekicks.
Tell us a little bit about King of Monsters, because
it's crazy. I think the closest thing you could link that to is something I pointed out when it first came out. If you think about Pacific Rim, it's like that scale. It's like giant monsters, giant robots, and you know, you've got a fully destructible environment that you walk around and you have a big battle. It's crazy. So yeah, it's like Pacific Rim before Pacific Rim came out.
I know certainly that I remember the Metal Slug games, and they're absolutely
one for me as well.
I absolutely love the you know, full of humour, lots of over the top action. So I do remember that game.
That's probably the one thing everyone asks about at events as well that we attend. That's the one we have running Metal Slugs. It's probably the most unanimous game that everyone wants to play on. For myself as well, I absolutely love that game.
So in terms of the console itself as well, is it the build of it exactly the same as the original in terms of quality as well?
Yes, it's quite interesting actually, because I'm only 27, so I don't have a lot of experience with the original. So my first experience with Neo Geo was the X. So I played it and I got a feel for it, and I played it a lot, obviously throughout the entire development of it. I played it a lot, and then I actually got to play at Revival. They actually had a Metal Slug original kind of like arcade cart set up, and they had the game running. I thought, this is brilliant. So I actually played them more or less side by side, and for me, step by step, it was an exact recreation. Brilliant. So I was really, really impressed, because there are a few imperfections that I thought, oh, maybe this is the handheld, that's, you know, it's such a powerful console, it's recreating. But no, those imperfections are actually in the original. I think right. That's the thing. Over like 20, 30 years, your mind kind of warps how the original experience was, and you remember it more vividly than it originally was. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, I'm saying that's just the way it is. You know, some of it, you look at the graphics, you go back to some of the graphics on the original games, and you think, what? Like, was it really this bad? But at the time, you just felt in your memory, you remember enjoying it, so you remember it in a positive way.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I've had similar experiences with some of the computer games that I played. For instance, the first computer that I had was an Oric, and that's going back a long time. But I remember playing some games. I remember playing Manic Miner on it and loving Manic Miner on it. And I never remember that machine having colour clash, you know, like the Spectrum has.
Right.
But having since revisited it and played it, the colour clash on the Oric was actually worse than the Spectrum.
Right.
But you know, from back in, you don't notice things like that.
Positive,
when
you just have if something you enjoyed, you remember it in a positive way. You don't remember the blemishes of it.
No, that's right. I think it's brilliant that you can just take this out and take the handheld out and then go off on your train journey and still play all the games. What's have you played it on a TV screen as well?
Yes, I tend to whack it out at parties as well on two player, because obviously with this AES style station, the docking station, you can plug in two controllers. So that's when we'll stick on Super Psychics Football. For me, that's a better party game than FIFA, because as I said before, anyone playing FIFA that's experienced, you're not going to have an enjoyable experience playing against someone else. But Super Psychic Soccer, it's just like level playing field. No matter how many times you've played it before, anyone can pick that up. There's two or three buttons to use and off you go. I think it's two buttons actually, from memory. You just use kick, pass and shoot, tackle. It's crazy.
I'd love to own one, but unfortunately I can't afford to get one just at this moment. After Christmas, and I've got four children, so it's been a bit of an expensive do.
All right, you have to speak to Funstop, I know they'll tell you out.
Excellent. Okay, well, that sounds like an absolutely fantastic product, and it's obviously brilliant value for money, considering you get all those games.
And the Mega Pack as well.
And the Mega Pack, back in the day, they would have been so expensive.
Can't even imagine it.
The Mega Pack, are they actually sold individually as well?
The Mega Pack's just one pack on its own at 15 games, and it's in an original AES game case, so it's an exact replica of the case, even to the big clipping arm and everything that covers it up. So you stick that on your shelf with your original Neo Geo games, it sits banging alongside them.
Ah, right, excellent. Yeah, it's just that I see that there's some other ones. There's the Neo Geo X Classics Volume 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, the Classics packs are like smaller versions of that. So you get 3-in-1. But we found there's like 99% of people buy the Mega Pack versus the Classic Pack.
Okay, yeah. And you do offer an extended warranty for that machine. What
console, yeah.
Yeah, what do you get as standard in terms of warranty?
I think through Funstock it covers pretty much everything anyway. I think that's for up to a year. So, right out of the box, we find that anyone that's got an issue, that's something we resolve straight away. I think anyone can vouch for that's had a problem. through Funstock that we resolve it. And if anyone hasn't, they can contact me directly and I'll personally resolve that.
Brilliant. Okay. All right. So we've covered the Neo Geo X. Let's talk about the Dingo A330. This is something that I'm particularly interested in this.
The Dingo A330 is probably one of the largest selling Ando consoles in Hong Kong. So it's something that we saw and thought, wow, we've got to bring that to the UK. And that's something we're focusing on for 2014 as well, is spotting these products. They're doing really well in other countries and other nations, bringing them across to the UK and Europe. So that the Dingo A330 is another handheld games console, but this actually ships with the following emulators built in. So right out of the box, you can play ColecoVision, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, MAME, MSX, Neo Geo, Neo Geo Pocket, NES, Super NES, Sega Master System, Sega Mega Drive or Genesis, Sega Game Gear, and the Wonder Swan.
Wow.
That's right out of the box. Yeah, it's crazy.
It does look absolutely fantastic. Because, I mean, you know, you can set these emulators up on your computer, but sometimes it just takes you absolutely ages to do it. You've got to look for ROMs. You've got to have things in the right place.
Exactly.
And then, you know, obviously, if you do something with your computer, you might have to reset it all up again. You can spend ages and ages trying to set all of the different emulators up. So to have a device like that that's just got them all on there is absolutely brilliant.
It weighs absolutely nothing as well. It's very, very light. Right. So it's something that you can have in your bag and you don't even realise it's there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I journey to work on the train every day, so you know, to have something like that to just while away the time while I'm traveling would be absolutely brilliant. Tell us a little bit about the actual build of the handheld console itself, you know, the style of it and what.
It's quite a sleek system. It fits. Obviously it's two-handed, but I think it sits quite snugly in there. We also did the Game Gadget. The Game Gadget was slightly larger. So some people actually preferred the larger size of the Game Gadget, but I think the Dingo, the slightly smaller size of that works better for myself. And I think the Dingo nailed what it's trying to do, whereas the Game Gadget had a bit of a rocky road.
Right. It looks a little. It does have a little bit of a look of the PSP about it.
I think that's what the guys in Hong Kong obviously saw, PSP.
Let's do that.
Yeah, exactly. Let's make that, but let's make it even better. Playing any console you can imagine on it.
It's got a list of supported video formats as well. Does it actually play videos as well? It
plays videos as well, yeah. Videos, music. I think there's an ebook reader in there as well. It's got a built-in digital FM radio tuner, but I've never actually used that myself.
Yeah, so it's more than just a little handheld.
Absolutely,
game,
absolutely. That's it's nice. Kind of like a mobile media centre.
Yeah, that's nice to know, is that? In terms of transferring games across to it, I take it just takes an SD card or something like that. So you can literally just plug it into your PC, copy them across, and plug it straight into the device. Does it have a USB connector itself as well?
It does, yes. I think it's 4 gig off the top of my head, internal memory as well.
Right, excellent.
Okay. Yeah, there's 4 gig memory. Just double check that. So you're aware with that. You can carry around your 4 gig of your favourite games, which, think about the size of your standard ROM file. It's minuscule. 4 gigs worth of games on there is probably much the entire collection of most consoles. So if you want to go one step further, you stick your SD card in and off you go.
Yeah, and now you've also got, I think I saw a tweet today as well. What can you get in terms of extra add-ons for it, hardware, or I think you've got a controller for it, haven't you?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I think it's Bluetooth control. I'm just going to double check if it's wireless or Bluetooth, but it's one of the basically there's no wires, and it's a controller. So yeah, you can either play it as it is on its console. It's also got TV out, so you can stick that into your TV, sit with your wireless controller, and off you go. You've got your own home retro gaming centre.
Nice.
Yeah.
let me see. Yeah, another thing that I did actually have a look online, and it is actually Linux compatible, isn't it? Where do you stand in terms of installing a new operating system on it? Would that invalidate the warranty on it?
I think as soon as you start modifying it, you can have issues with your warranty there.
Yeah, it's just interesting to ask, because obviously I know that people do that kind of thing to the Vita, and obviously you would expect
I'm aware
that
of
it invalidates.
Well, let's do it with this. So that, yeah. Which console it is off the top of my head, but you can install another console on there that's not on that list, and it's a very simple process.
Yeah, no, I think there's an operating system called Dingux or something.
Yeah,
like
Dingux,
that,
and that'll give you a wider
install into it. Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for the Dingu for now, unless I think of any more questions. So we'll move on to another product. Neo Geo Dingu. Let's talk about the EverDrive cartridges that you got, because you've got quite a range of different ones there, haven't you?
I think we brought in pretty much everything that the guys make. They're unbelievable build quality. I remember when I first got them in, like, you put them side by side with an original cartridge and there's literally no comparison. Like, they are identical. And what the EverDrive does is you take an original console, so you take your original Mega Drive.
Yep.
You take your EverDrive cartridge, which is a complete replica of an original Mega Drive cartridge, stick your SD card in the top with your favourite games, wherever you've acquired those from, and off you go. So it's basically, you're not using emulation, because you're actually using the original hardware to play the games. So this is like extreme level of sourcing your own games. I think that's probably the right terminology. So yeah, this is what you want to use if you want that absolute perfect recreation of your home games console collection without having to have your entire games collection laid out on the floor. So it's probably the most convenient way to do that.
Yeah, and you've got lots of different ones for the different consoles as well. Everything on the website.
Mega Drive, N64, SNES, NES. I think we do a Master System one, a Game Gear one, Super Nintendo, Famicom. There's a Famicom adapted to NES. I think that's the one off the top of my head.
Okay. I know on the Super UFO 8 that I had, you could actually remove the top and you could plug one of your games into the top and rip it off onto the SD card. Can you do that on the ones that you've got on here as well?
Not to my knowledge, but I don't think, I'm not saying no to that. it's not something I've done myself, but it's probably one to look for on the official guy's site. I think it's an EverDrive official site.
I'll be honest,
there's a lot of functionality.
It wasn't until just before I gave Andy the cartridge, to be honest, that I realised you could actually do it on that one anyway.
Because
when you get them, you don't get really tend to get a lot of instructions with them. You just get a CD and probably the manuals on there.
You
but, you know, being a techie, you just tend to not bother reading the manuals. So it wasn't until...
I'm in that ballpark as well.
Yeah, it wasn't until I decided to send it down there. I thought, what's this bit on the top? And pulled it off and thought, oh, hang on a minute. You can actually plug a cartridge into there and copy it onto your SD card.
Fantastic.
Is there any sort of incompatibilities on any of the cartridges that you're aware of? Because I know that some, certainly on the SNES side, there were incompatibilities with them having the Super FX chip.
Not to my knowledge, but anything that, you know, anything from the manufacturer we've been given, we've stuck on the site. So if we've been told by the manufacturer it won't support this, or if anyone emails us to say, I've tried this on this car, we'll stick that online, because it's in our interest to reduce the amount of misinformation or any potential returns. So we'd rather tell you up front.
If anyone had a game that they particularly wanted to play and they just wanted to check that, you know, it would work with the system, they could just send you a message and say, could you try this for us?
I think that could be an option.
Yeah.
I think the percentage of games is very, very minimal that won't work. I think it's like 99.9% will work. It's just a small handful of games that you probably have to go out of your way to find out. I think it's more of a challenge to find ones that don't work than ones that do work.
Well, I know certainly from having one of those that it's definitely worth, buying yourself an EverDrive, because it makes it so easy to get rather than having to buy all your second-hand cartridges on eBay and you never know whether they're going to work. it's handy to have them all in one place. Now, we talked about the Retron 5 earlier, but you haven't got much more detail on that
one. Well, I'll, I'll just give you a bit of something you can go with on the Retro 5, and the most we know is that it's going to be quarter two at the earliest now. So, you know, it's a massive disappointment for us, as I'm sure it is for any of your listeners that's excited for it, because it's an amazing product. But obviously we're at the beck and hands of the manufacturer. And obviously, if those guys haven't completed it, there's not much we can do in terms of getting it to people's hands.
No, that's going to be superb when it comes out. It's just an all-in-one system, isn't it? So
yeah, amazing. It's an amazing idea. It's kind of one of those things you draw in school when you were a kid and like, imagine if you could do this, this and this in one. And these guys have kind of took that seriously and made it.
Brilliant, yeah. And some of the other things that you do as well, it's not just, you know, the consoles. You've got lots of accessories and things as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
I know that certainly I use a lot of emulation. And some of the things I like to do is try and make that as authentic as possible. So I'll add like a Competition Pro, you know, USB to my PC so I can get that feel of, you know, the old C64 or Amiga style joysticks. Yeah, tell us about, you've got some of those sort of accessories in stock as well?
We do, yes. We have a NES one, an N64, SNES, Genesis. They're the ones that come to mind. I think that's probably everything. I think we have a Super Famicom one as well. That's for Wii. So, yeah, if you're a SNES, Sega or Nintendo guy and you want to get that authentic feel if you're playing it on your PC, we have USB, works on Mac as well, Windows on Mac. And, yeah, you get that authentic experience.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of that. It's, you know, it's all right playing it with an Xbox controller, but it's not.
Yeah, it's one, you know,
you want to get as close as you can. So, you know, for anyone who's on a budget, it's easy enough to buy one of those. Just plug it in your PC and away you go.
I think the Sega and Atari consoles are interesting and worth a quick shout. We've just announced the Sega Wireless 80 Games Edition. That's like a Sega, it's licensed by Sega, original Mega Drive. It's slightly scaled down, but you can actually play all your original Mega Drive carts on it as well.
So it comes with
80 games built in. There's 40 Mega Drive games, and they're all absolutely, you know, the quality games. You've got all your Golden Axes, your Streets of Rage, your Sonics. You know, there's all the ones that jump to mind when you think about Sega Mega Drive. They're all built in, and then you've got 40 more games, which... There are 40 more games that you've probably never heard of and probably never will hear of. But again, from jumping them out in a party environment, you stick one of these games on that were probably made in a couple of hours in some guy's basement, and they're absolutely... They're so much fun. Because obviously it's just pure gameplay again. The graphics are scaled back, and it's like, right, you know, let's do some crazy, crazy action game.
Yeah, so that's the... Yeah, that's
there's a lot of fun there on top of the Sega games.
Yeah, so that's the Sega Mega Drive Arcade Classic Wireless Console.
Wireless,
yeah that so I'm just looking
wireless
at.
Controls as
so
well.
We've got 80 games on there. Oh, there's a massive list. So I shall read these out afterwards. But cool. That does look excellent. Sense, and you say you can actually plug... You can actually plug original Mega Drive games into that as well.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
All right, so that's and that's $49.99. That's pre-order at the minute?
Yeah, we're expecting those. I think around March, April time. As soon as we get a confirmed date, we'll put that up on the site. But yeah, we're accepting pre-orders for them now, and I think that's the best way to order. And anything that you actually want, I know there's a little downside in that you partner with your cash early, but it's the only way to guarantee it. So for example, we've stopped pre-orders on the Retron 5 now because our allocation's been fulfilled. So there's actually not a way to pre-order anymore. So that first batch of consoles that are coming in, they're already allocated to people. I think that's something. Any advice I'd give to them, if it's something you really want, pre-order it and make sure you get it. Otherwise, you could be waiting. So I think you had the same experience with Xbox One and PS4, is that those people that pre-ordered got it on day one, and the rest, you can be waiting weeks, maybe months.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. You can actually get the Mega Drive there and plug your
original
cards in. Because one of the things that I miss is if you buy a console off eBay, the new smell.
Yeah.
Opening a box, you know, with a console in with a new smell. I know when I got the Retro Duo that I've got here, I opened it and you could just smell the plastic and all the electronics inside it. And it's just
can't emulate that kind of...
No, you can't emulate it. It's that experience that you used to get when you were younger.
In 10, 20 years, they will be able to do that.
So, yeah, so being able to get one of these Neo Geos off yourselves or the Mega Drive and open it up and have that brand new smell. I know that on one of the recent podcasts that Matt did, he was on about his Amiga, and he said that Amiga Kit had got some new Amigas. I don't know if it was a couple of years back, he said, and he was kicking himself for not buying one, but... for me, I would have been too for that brand new smell of being at open.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, straight out of the box.
That's the kind of thing that you miss when you buy things off eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell us a little bit about the game gadget. You did mention it earlier, because...
The game gadget had the best intentions in the world. It was originally, they created it to be like the iPod of retro gaming. So it was created to be an iTunes-style system, which they implemented. So you could actually buy games through like an iTunes-style store and then upload them to your games console. So the goal was to create one destination for every single retro game to be available.
Right.
Which, you know, as a vision, as a company vision, that's amazing.
Yeah,
It got a lot of positive press, you know, when it first was announced. You know, it was a fantastic idea and everyone was really excited about it. I think that the initial issue that I had was in the implement, you know, the final getting over the finish line. So when it first launched, it did have quite a few stumbling blocks, which they then managed to iron out eventually. But I think the biggest catch was that none of the actual publishers got on board, which was a massive shame, because I know the guys worked really hard and they went through that extensively, and I know they were in talks with pretty much everyone in the industry. And I think it was like a chicken and egg situation where you'd got publishers saying, well, we've got this content, you know, how many devices are in the market? Because obviously they want to see something that they can sell. So as it was a brand new console that was reliant on content, it was like a catch-22 situation where it was difficult to sell the device because it didn't have the content, and it was hard to get the content because the devices went on. You're like launching an iPod with no MP3s, so you have this amazing device. It's like, well, where's the music? So I think that's the situation it was stuck in. And further down the line, they've created version 2, which is pretty much makes it a Dingo, which they've, you know, right out of the box, you've got the emulators built in. So it's something that you can play. I know we've only got, I think we've got like one box of the things left. There's very, very few game gadgets left in existence as far as I'm aware. So it might actually be hitting the point where it's a collector's item.
I'm going to say it might be worth getting one, because I've listed on the site it's $24.99. Doesn't seem like a bad
clear. Price. That's absolute clearance price for us to just free up some space. Yeah.
Yeah, let's just run down the prices then, because we've mentioned a lot of them, but I don't think we mentioned the actual prices for the products as well.
Okay.
So the Neo Geo,
how much is that? £150. The Neo Geo is currently £150. That's with the full limited edition gold system, and you currently get the Mega Pack as well. So you're actually getting 36 games, the console, the dock, the full Mega Pack. So yeah, you're getting a lot of value for £150.
Brilliant. And the Dingo A330, that was,
I think they're at $89.99 at the moment. We do run quite a few special offers on that, so I'll either grab one now while they're $89.99 and they're in stock. But if you think, actually, you know, that's a slightly too far out of my price range, that is on special offer quite frequently.
Okay, and then the Sega Mega Drive Arcade Classic that you mentioned, that comes with 80 games.
It's $49.99, that one.
And that's on pre-order at the minute.
Yes, and it's probably worth mentioning the Atari Flashback 4 as well. That's an Atari, based on the Atari 2600 home console. Two controls there as well, and 75 Atari games. And that does include Pong, Asteroids, and Space Invaders.
Excellent. Now, that's not expandable like the Mega Drive one, though, is it? You can't plug any cartridges into that.
You're just stuck with those 75, but I think 75 games is good going for anyone, really.
Yeah. So that's $49.99.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Yeah, what I would like to see in the future, I'd love them to start bringing the home, you know, more of the home computers back out, because like you said, that the Spectrum thing does look really interesting, and I'm sort of I'm I'm tempted to bid on that because I'd like to want to be a success.
Yeah.
So that it might entice some others to maybe think, well, I think maybe we should bring a C64 out, and maybe we should bring.
Exactly. I think that's an excellent point, and I think that if we could link that, to the game gadget, is that if more people had gotten bored with it in the early days, you might even see a situation now where you could actually think of any retro game and go and do it. So I think it is kind of a two-way street. If anyone that thinks this is a good idea, actually support it any way you can and be positive about it.
Yeah.
Even if the implementation is not 100%, if you're positive about it, it'll affect other people that think, well, actually, I can do that better. Oh, I've seen that. Whereas if it's just all negativity, other people see and think, well, someone tried that, it didn't work. So I think the thing with the Spectrum one is, yeah, it's an amazing idea. It's got the guys at Elite Systems behind it, so there's a lot of heritage there. We actively encourage anyone to go out and back that Kickstarter. We've confirmed as the first retailer to support that device. So if that thing does hit its goal, it will be available on funstuck.co.uk.
Yep. Also, will you be at some exhibitions this year, some of the retro...
Yes.
Who's out there? Which one's going to be all of them?
We've confirmed for NERG up in Newcastle, so we've already stuck our name down for that one. And there's a 99.99999% we'll be at Replay in Manchester. We've just not confirmed for that yet, but it's on our plans to be there. So yeah, Replay in Manchester is another one.
Brilliant. Will you personally be there?
There's a 99.99% sure I'll be there as well. So I was there last year, yeah, I think I'll be there this year as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping to get to Nerge because my sister lives in Tynemouth, which is not very far
from
where it will be held. So I may combine it with a little holiday.
Yeah, they got also for me the kicker for me at that event was Point Blank. They had the original Point Blank with your two arcade guns set up. That's probably one of my favourite all time.
I didn't get to it last year, but hopefully I will be there this year.
Yeah, fantastic. And Replay as well is an amazing event for anyone that's not been to that. That's a real experience. Even if you can get down for one of the 2 days it's there, I'd recommend it to anyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, well, thank you for taking time out to talk to me and
no problem.
Run us through some of your products. And I hope to see you at some of those shows there, and if the listeners want to come along and meet you, then they can see you at the shows that we've just mentioned.
I'm the 6'1" guy with a big smile on his face. He probably tell my voice.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thank you very much. Would it be possible to get us any sort of a Retro Asylum discount code or anything like that?
Do that now for you. What do you want your code to be? What would work best for you guys?
Whatever you want, Asylum something.
Asylum? Yep, I'll do your 10% one now. I'll get you 10% off anything in store.
That'd be brilliant.
And the coupon, I'll be user code Asylum.
I hope you enjoyed that. I'd like to say thanks again to Andy Pearson for joining us on the podcast and telling us all about the fantastic products that Funstock have got. Now, you can follow Funstock on Twitter as well. It's at Funstock Games. I'm sure that they'll be willing to answer any questions that you may have. Don't forget to visit the website at www.funstock.co.uk. And if you do purchase anything, don't forget to use the promo code Asylum, as Andy's just set us up there. Now, I've just received an updated list of sponsors from Mr. Sid, so I'd just like to say thank you to everybody once again who has sponsored. The complete list here is Dino Dini, Stelios, Michael Keith, John Stratford and Peter Flynn. Thank you very much for sponsoring us. We really do appreciate it. Also, further to the interview that you've just heard there, Funstock were kind enough to send me a Dingo A330 to review. And I've posted a review on the RetroAsylum.com website. If you just visit RetroAsylum.com, visit the review section there, you will find a review. But further to that as well, I have tried some different emulators on it, and I can say that the Game Boy and the Game Boy Advance emulation is absolutely superb. So there's a massive library of games that you can get access to there. I highly do recommend the Dingo A330. And also, I have got a Game Gadget as well, which I did purchase myself, and that's a fantastic little item as well. So if you're running on a budget, then I can highly recommend the Game Gadget. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed the show, and next week we can look forward to a fantastic episode that's coming from Mr. Sid and Press Play on Tape, and they're going to battle it out to try and agree on their favourite C64 games, so do not miss that. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye, everyone.